We're going to continue and finish up our study on who we are as we finish looking at our new vision, our new mission statement, which again is love God, love others, share His story. So this third step that we have in our discipleship process is where we move from belief into action. This is where kind of the rubber hits the road a little bit. Where we've got all of this information, where we've been learning, where we've been studying, we've been growing, and we have all of this here, and we've kind of got to do something with it. James 1:22 tells us, James writes and says, that we're not supposed to be just hearers of the word. We're supposed to be doers of the word. And so we need to have in our church a plan of action for how we're going to do what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this, "For we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them." God has not called us to be spiritual consumers. He's called us to be believers who do something with what we've learned. We have this great grace that we've been given. We have this incredible gift that we have received. We've got to do something with it. And so the end result of discipleship is men and women, teenagers and boys and girls who look and talk and act and think just like Jesus Christ. So if you're in Romans chapter 1, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of the Word of God? We're going to start in verse 1 and then we're going to jump down to the middle of verse 8. It says this, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God concerning them is for their salvation. This is the message of faith that we proclaim. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. Now the Scripture says, everyone who believes on Him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, since the same Lord of all is rich to all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on Him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about Him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. But all did not obey the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ." Lord Jesus, I pray now as we spend these few moments together looking at Your Word, that You would impress upon our hearts not just a good story, not just a great time together, but what we need to do, the actions that we need to take so that we are men and women and boys and girls and teenagers who are sharing Your story. We love You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The first thing that we need to have in our minds as we talk about this idea of share His story is that we need to be concerned about the salvation of others. Look there in verse 1. Paul writes this and he says, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God concerning them is for their salvation." This is a really important verse, and I think a lot of times when we come to Romans chapter 10, man, we make a beeline for verses 9 and 10 and 13, and we should. Those are incredible verses. They're important verses. But this verse right here, this gives us a glimpse of Paul's heart just a little bit. This is something that Paul is just kind of sharing a little bit personally about what his thoughts are. So let's look at some of these words. Brothers, he's talking here to the church. So he's not only talking to the Roman church, he's talking to Spring Valley Baptist Church. He's talking to every believer, and he's saying, listen, I need you to understand something, that you're my brothers, you're my sister, we're family. He's talking to us, and then he says them. My heart's desire and prayer to God concerning them. He's talking about those who are not the church. So he's talking to the church about those who are not the church, specifically in context, if we back up to chapters 8 and 9 and the beginning of 10 here, he's talking about Israel, but he's talking about those who don't believe. And then he's talking about salvation. And Paul is desiring for them to be a part of the eternal universal church. So he's talking to the church about those who aren't in the church, saying they need to be a part of the church. Not just that they are members, not that they are seat fillers, but that they have relationship with Jesus Christ. And then there's these two words right there that he said, my heart's desire. You know what he's talking about here? He's saying that it was something that was constantly on his heart and mind, something that he was passionate about, something that as he's talking about salvation and all the way through the book of Romans, man, what a great study of salvation the book of Romans is. And he comes here, and once again, he says, I just need to tell you something. Something that's on my heart a lot is those who aren't believers. In fact, if we back up to the beginning of chapter 9, Paul writes this, I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience is testifying to me with the Holy Spirit that I have intense sorrow and continual anguish in my heart. What is he sad about? He's sad about those who don't believe. He said all the time on my heart, it's just beating, it's just hurting, it's breaking for those who are not believers. And then he says, for I could almost wish to be cursed and cut off from the Messiah for the benefit of my brothers, my own flesh and blood. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, I have such a heartbeat, such a passion for those who don't believe that I could almost say I would go to hell so that they could go to heaven. That's a pretty intense statement. Because I think if we went around the room this morning with this preacher included, I don't know that many of us could really say that. Yeah, I'd go to hell if it meant other people could go to heaven. Because hell is forever. Hell is eternal separation from God. Hell is incredible torment and anguish. Hell is the opposite of relationship with God and heaven. And Paul's like, man, I would wish for that so that my co-workers in Israel, my former co-workers, my family, my people that I grew up with, I wish that they could go to heaven. I wish that they would believe. See, that's the heart that I have for the lost people. So we need to see people the way God sees them and have a passion for those who do not know him. I don't know if we've ever thought about this as we walk into Walmart, as we sit down at Cracker Barrel, as we go through time in our jobs and our neighborhoods, do we ever sit down and look around and just think, man, I wonder if they're going to heaven or not. Man, I don't know if they know Jesus. I think most of the time we just kind of go through life, don't we? If we get an opportunity, maybe we'll invite someone to church. But do we have a real passion for lost people? Do we have a heart's desire like Paul's talking about here? Are we saying, oh man, I've got this burden on my heart and I just got to share it with you? We need to see them the way God sees them and have a passion for those who do not know him. So number one, we need to be concerned about the salvation of others. Number two, we need to proclaim the message of faith. Look back in verse 9 of Romans 10, Paul says this, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What is he doing here? He's preaching the gospel. And you say, well, wait, didn't he, in verse 1 there, didn't he call them brothers? Isn't he writing to the church? Yes, he is. But he's preaching the gospel because he realized that we need to make sure that we don't ever, ever forget the message of the gospel. He wants us to be reminded time and time again, every day, what it is that Jesus did for us, how he died, how he became our sin, how he rose again so we could have forgiveness, so we could have eternal life. Verse 10 tells us a little bit more about it. He says, one believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. Now, the scripture says, everyone who believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, since the same Lord of all is rich to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know what the first thing we need to see here as we proclaim this message of faith is we should not overcomplicate the message. Don't overcomplicate the gospel. It is beautifully simple. Beautifully simple. What did Jesus say? Remember when there was the time people were trying to bring their kids, and I was like, oh, don't bring kids. We don't want to. And Jesus said, no, you got to come. And if you don't believe and have faith as a child, you'll never see the kingdom of God. How does a child believe? Well, I remember when, by the way, if you're a pastor's kid, and I was a pastor's kid, you realize that your life becomes just a string of sermon illustrations. So I kind of apologize to my daughters, but not a whole lot. But when Emma was about two years old, it was right after Kira was born, and we had bought her a bunk bed for the first time, and I remember I walked into her room and she was kind of climbing up the ladder, and I said to her, "Emma, come here." Now, in my mind, that means climb down the ladder and walk over to me, right? That is not what Emma did. She's about three quarters of the way up the ladder, and she just launches herself off the ladder because I said, "Come here." And she came to me. She had complete faith that I was going to catch her, right? She didn't have to worry about that. She was like, "He's my dad. He's going to catch me." The hard part was on my end, right? That's what faith in God is. It doesn't matter. We don't have to figure it all out. We don't have to say, "Well, I don't know if it's going to work or not." We just have faith, and we leap off the ladder. You see, the gospel is this beautifully simple thing. And here's what we need to do. Number one, confess Jesus is Lord. We just need to say, "Hey, man, I understand something. Jesus, he's God. I believe that Jesus is God. I'm going to confess with my mouth." And it says, believe that God raised him from the dead. You know what we like to try to do a lot of times in church world today is we like to cut certain things out. We don't like to talk about the blood because it's kind of gross and it's gory, and we don't want to talk about that. But if we go all the way back to the book of Genesis, what's the first thing that we see happen after God confronts Adam and Eve with their sin? He kills animals to make a covering for them so they were no longer naked, so their shame would be covered and hidden. We fast forward a little bit. We see Moses and Israel there at Mount Sinai. God's given some instructions, and what are the instructions? Well, you have to have a sacrifice. There's to be a blood offering. Think about the Day of Atonement, where the high priest would go in and he would take in a sacrifice for himself and his family, and then he would take in a sacrifice for the sins of all the people, and there was always to be blood. And then we fast forward to Jesus on the cross, and we see his blood being shed. We like to cut that out sometimes. The other thing we like to kind of cut out is minimize the resurrection. Just recently, there have been a number of famous Christian, I use that term loosely, leaders who have said it doesn't really matter whether Jesus rose from the dead or not. It matters immensely. And so when we're talking about the gospel, don't cut anything out, but don't overcomplicate it. It is simple. It is so simple that a child can come to faith in Jesus. But also we need to understand the process. Look at verse 10 again. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. Verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So here's the question. Is salvation an act of God or an act of man? Yes, is the answer. This is what Dr. Steve Gaines says. He says, salvation is a gift given by God. Salvation must be received by man. Giving is God's part. Receiving is man's part. God woos and he draws us and he convicts us because we know that on our own we'll always run away from God. So there has to be an act of God. But we, man, has to volitionally and willfully respond. We have to have a part in salvation. So in our convention in these days, there is a big debate about free will of man and sovereignty of God. And people like to say these are two opposite discussions, and really they're not. They're the same. They're two sides of the same coin because it's the act of salvation. I think it was Dr. Adrian Rogers who said, it's kind of like this. You walk up, as you get to heaven, you walk to the outside of the gates, and it says, whosoever will may come. And you walk through the gate, and you look back towards earth, and on the inside it says, chosen before the foundation of the world. How's that all work together? I don't know. And guess what? You don't either. And I really think that if we think we've got salvation all figured out, if we can put it down and say, this is what salvation is, this is how it works, that's kind of prideful on our part. Because it's saying we really understand the mind of God, and we don't. We can't figure it out. We have glimpses of how it is. And does the Bible say, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved? Yeah, we just read it. Does the Bible also say, chosen before the foundation of the world? Yeah, we can read that in Scripture too. There's this tension there that sometimes we want to resolve, and we want to just kind of wipe it away and say, oh, it's one way or the other. I'm a Calvinist, or I'm an Arminian, or something like that. I think we need to be biblicists. I think we need to look at what the Word of God says and say, man, I'm not going to figure it all out. Until that day where I meet Jesus face to face, I'm not going to understand it all. But we need to make sure that we do not overcomplicate the process. We need to understand that someone has to believe and someone has to confess. Now, does that mean that they have to raise their hand or walk an aisle? No. But does that mean they need to pray a sinner's prayer? No. But we need to confess. Confess is just really calling out to God. It's really just talking to God. It's just saying, God, I don't understand this whole thing. I probably never will, but I'm going to believe by faith, just like Emma jumping off that ladder. I don't understand it, but I'm going to believe. Understand the process. We need to proclaim the message of faith. Number three, we need to be busy going. We need to be busy going. Look in verses 14 through 17. But how can they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. But all did not obey the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ. Number one, we have a responsibility to go and tell. We have a responsibility to go and tell. We are commanded to be the light in the dark, to be the salt of the earth, to go to every nation, to share the gospel. We cannot walk away from that responsibility at all. It's not an optional thing for us as believers. It's not if you feel like it, you should tell people about Jesus. It's not if it's convenient for you, if it's the right timing, or they start the conversation, because we don't want to offend anybody. My pastor always just say, where are we going to offend someone to? Hell number two? They're already destined for hell. What did Jesus say in John chapter 3? He didn't come to condemn, but those who don't believe are already condemned. If they don't believe in Jesus, they're already heading to hell. So we have a responsibility, church, to go and tell, to share the good story, the beautiful, simple gospel with everyone. We don't need, or we shouldn't need, an evangelism class. We shouldn't need to feel whether we're in the right place in our lives or not. We just simply need to go and do it. There's a great theologian, you might recognize this, he said this, do or do not, there is no try. Anyone know who that is, by the way? No one? Brent, you don't even know? Great theologian, Yoda. Yep, Star Wars, anyone? No? All right, anyway, I thought it was a good theological statement there. And here's the truth of the matter is that we just need to go and do it. We don't need to think about it. We don't need to pray about it. Should I share the gospel with this person? The answer is always yes. You don't need to pray about it. Should I talk to this person about their spiritual condition? Let me pray about it. No, you don't need to. Yes. We have a responsibility to do it. We are called to do it. That's who we are as believers. The verse that we started with, Ephesians 2:10, says that we are created for good works. Why did Jesus not just take us to heaven when we got saved? Because he left us here for a purpose. The purpose wasn't so we could go and see how much money we could make, or that we could go through a bunch of trials and have hard times and have sickness and illness and death and temptation and sin. No, the reason that we're here is so that we can share the gospel with others. If we go to the story of Abraham, you know what God said to Abraham? He said, I'm going to make you a great nation that will be a light to all peoples. See, the nation of Israel, what they were called to do was to be the missionaries. They were called to share about the one true God. You know what they did? They said, we're God's chosen people. We're going to keep that to ourselves. And then as they said, hey, we're God's chosen people, and you look there in the book of Judges and all throughout the Old Testament, what do you see? They say, oh, we have the one true God. Oh, but look at that God over there. I'm going to do that. Oh, look at that one over there. And they never fulfilled the purpose that God intended for them. So God had another plan. That's the church. Church, we're not supposed to be just us four no more hanging out inside our walls. We're supposed to be sharing the beautiful, good story of Jesus with others. It's not an optional thing. It's an everyday thing. It's a lifestyle thing. We have a responsibility to go and tell. But here's something we need to understand. People will not care how much you know until they know how much you care. Sometimes we get in the kind of gunslinger evangelism mode, where we load up and we start going and firing our gospel bullets at everyone that we come in contact with. We think, oh man, we're doing a great job. Just a couple weeks ago, I was in Trustful, and someone was right on the corner there, and he had a big sign, and it said repent on it, and he was just kind of yelling at the top of his lungs. He wasn't making an impact on anybody. And in fact, as I was sitting there at that red light, I looked at some of the cars around me, and people were just kind of looking at him and kind of laughing. I don't know if they were believers or not that were sitting in that car, but it wasn't making an impact on anyone. Because they were just sitting there saying, who's that? Why does he get to talk to me? What does that matter? Here's what Jesus said in John 13. He said, I give you a new command. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. This isn't talking about primarily loving each other inside the church, but guess what? It doesn't end there. What did Jesus say? He said, you've heard that it said, an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, but I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who are against you. Right? When we show people how much we love them, we have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. Why did Jesus do a lot of miracles? He healed people. He fed people. Did all those sort of things. You know why? Two reasons. Number one, to authenticate his message. Anybody can walk in and say, I'm God. All right? Any single one of us, we could walk in right now and say, hey, everybody, I'm God. I just want you to know I'm the Messiah. But there's not any of us that could duplicate the miracles that Jesus did. So first of all, to authenticate his message. Number two was that he was meeting people's needs. He was showing them love so that by the time that he ended up on the cross, people said, oh man, that's that man that he fed me when I was hungry. That's the man that gave me my sight. That's the man who healed my leprosy. That's the man who told me to pick up my mat and walk. We have the opportunity to do the same thing, to love on people. Not just to do good works. Not just to do something good and be another good person. Man, if you go and watch TV, if you go on the internet, you know what you'll find? You'll find lots of different organizations that are doing a lot of really good things. There's people digging wells for villages in Africa so they can have clean water. There are people who are adopting children out of orphanages in India and China and places where they're very overcrowded. And they're doing very good things, but they're only doing good things. We need to go with the message of the gospel in our mouths. We serve others so that we have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. Jesus said this in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Now, if you grew up in church world like I did, we had this little song. Does anyone remember it? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? And then say, hide under a bushel. No, right? Don't let Satan it out, right? When we were talking about it, we had this great little ditty. If you didn't grow up in church world, you're not missing much. It was just this little song, okay? It's all right. But this is what the message of what Jesus is saying here, is that we're to live our lives in a way that we're connecting with others, that we're meeting their needs so they look at us. We get to say, hey, I need to tell you why I just did that, why I just paid that bill for you, why I just came and raked your yard, why I just helped you on the side of the road, why I gave you a super big tip along with this gospel tract. And by the way, if you're gonna leave a gospel tract at a restaurant for a week, give a big tip, all right? Big tip. Don't go stingy on us. All right, because what happens is people go and they get like no tip, and in fact, they throw it away. Leave a big old tip and encourage them to read that. But here's why. It's so that people can see our good works and give glory to our Father in heaven. If we're not opening our mouths about the gospel, that won't happen. We need to serve them so that we can share the gospel with them. But then also we're told here back in Romans that we will be rewarded for sharing the gospel. Look at verse 15. And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. Now here's something we need to understand. This is very, very important. God loves everybody. He even loves those who are not saved and never will get saved. He has a special relationship with his children, obviously. But he has a very special place and love for those who share the gospel, who are doing what we're supposed to be doing, who are going through life not just, I'm going to show up to church on Sunday and that's it, but who are out actively talking to people about Jesus Christ. He looks and he says, man, not only is that my child right there, he's doing what I've told him to do. Those of you who are parents, we understand that sometimes, don't we? We always love our kids. Sometimes we love them a little bit more. Sometimes we love them a little bit less. But when they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, that's a good feeling, isn't it? Can you imagine how God feels about us when we're living the way we're supposed to and when we're telling people about how they can have a relationship with Jesus? He looks down and he's like, oh, man. Look at that person right down there. That's my kind of person. Look at that person over there. They just shared with someone the beautiful, simple message of the gospel. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus to look at me that way. But we need to understand that people can't believe in what they don't know. Look at verses 14 and verse 17. But how can they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ. You see, as we talk about share his story, this is moving from belief into action. This is understanding that most people are not just going to stumble to the Bible and get saved. That does happen. Most people need someone to look them in the eyeball and say, I need to share something with you that changed your life because it changed mine. And I'm sharing it with you because I love you. David Platt asked this question. What about the innocent man in Africa? What about him? Won't he go to heaven? And he said, sure, the innocent man in Africa will go to heaven. However, there is no such thing as an innocent man in Africa. See, every person, Romans chapter 1 tells us that we're all condemned because of the design of nature. And so we have a responsibility to go and share with them the gospel. Those of us who know, we have the answer, right? We have the key to eternal life, to relationship with God. And if they are never told, how can they ever believe? Church, that's our responsibility. It's not your deacon's responsibility. It's not your pastor's responsibility. It's not our Word of Life missionary's responsibility. It's our responsibility. All of us. You may never end up in another country. You may never end up in a context where you're in a foreign place, in a foreign language, and you're there to share the gospel. Hopefully you will. But God has planted you right where you are for a specific reason. So we need to bloom where we're planted. God has you working that job for a specific reason. God has you living in that place for a specific reason. God has you in that family or in that neighborhood or whatever it is for a specific reason, and we need to be going and sharing the gospel. We are not called to be consumer Christians. In fact, the idea that someone who believes but doesn't serve and doesn't share the gospel is not found anywhere in Scripture. That is totally contrary to the Bible. We don't ever see true believers anywhere, Old Testament or New Testament, where they just kind of hang out. We don't see Old Testament believers, they just show up at temple every once in a while and that's it. And we definitely don't see that in the New Testament church. And so, church, we got to get up and we got to go. Life is too short and eternity is too long for us to not care about sharing the gospel. Three takeaways and we'll be finished this morning. Number one, am I concerned with the lostness around me? You know where the greatest mission field in our country today is? It's in our schools. So teenagers, you have the greatest opportunity to be the best missionaries that Spring Valley Baptist Church has right in your school. You have an incredible opportunity to get involved with First Priority, or start your own Bible study. I mean, you rub elbows every single day with other teenagers who don't know Jesus. You have an incredible opportunity. Even if all you can say is, come to church with me, you have an incredible opportunity. But moms and dads, that doesn't let you off the hook. You have an opportunity to get involved in your school, your kids' school, through all sorts of different opportunities, sports teams, bands, first priority, all sorts of things like that. You have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to get involved at work and start a Bible study. You say, oh, I can't do that. Yeah, you can. You should. Are you concerned with the lostness around you? I think a lot of times we go through life kind of with blinders on, where we just want to say, I don't want to see all that over there. I'm just going to focus in on what's important here. And we're just calloused. We don't care. Number two, am I proclaiming the message? Do I regularly share Jesus with others? Now, don't raise your hand. Don't nod. I don't want to know in any way, but I just want you to think for a minute. When is the last time that you personally shared the gospel with someone? If you're having trouble remembering right now, it's been too long. Maybe, teenager, you're like me, that I didn't really effectively share the gospel until I went to college. I'm grateful for going to I went to the Word of Life Bible Institute. I'm grateful for that. It taught me how to share the gospel, gave me opportunities, and put me in situations where I had to. It was sink or swim. But if you can't remember the last time that you shared the gospel with someone, it's been too long. Do you regularly share Jesus with others? Number three, am I busy serving God so that others can see that I love them? Love God, love others, share his story. It's a natural flow. It starts with our relationship with God. It starts with saying, I believe in Jesus. I get to know him more. I learn from his word. I study, and I begin to say, man, these other people around me, they're not actually so bad, even though they root for the wrong football team. I can still love them. From there, it naturally flows into saying, man, I need to tell people, because I understand that the majority of people in our world today don't know Jesus. Think about this. Over 7 billion people live on planet Earth today. Let's say that 50% of the people in the world today, which I think this is a high number, let's say 50% of the people in the world today are true believers in Jesus. You say, oh, that's really good. Yeah, but that is still 3.5 billion people who, if they were to die right now, would spend eternity in hell. We got to go, church. We got to go. We have a mission. We've been called to share the gospel. We've been called to serve others. Let's get up and go do it. Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you for our time together. Lord, I pray that you would break our hearts for the lostness around us. That we would go through life not with blinders on, but with our eyes wide open, looking for opportunities to share the gospel, looking for people that we can tell this great, incredible message of the gospel to. Lord, I pray that you would put people in our paths each and every day that we can just take a moment of time and share with them how much you love them. Father, I pray that you would give us boldness. You would give us courage to step up and to speak out. So right now, with no one looking around, I'm just going to ask you a simple question. If you're sitting here this morning and say, I know that I have a relationship with Jesus, I want you to just think of one person that you know of that doesn't know Jesus. And I just want you to begin committing to pray for them. Pray that God would give you an opportunity, that you would take the opportunity to share the gospel with them. The truth of the matter is, every single one of us knows more than one person. We know many people, but let's just focus on one person. Just whisper this prayer to God. Jesus, help me to take advantage of the opportunities you give me to share the gospel. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ. Would you do that today? Would you understand how much He loves you? He died in your place for your sins. He was buried, and on that third day He rose up. And He's standing in front of you this morning saying, believe in me. So in just a moment, when we stand up to sing, if you're here today and you've never before put your faith and trust in Jesus, and you say, today I want to make sure that I know my sins are forgiven, I have a relationship with Jesus, I have eternity in heaven, would you just come and meet me here at the aisle? And believer, maybe as we stand to sing, you need to come and come to this altar and kneel down and pray for that one that you know is lost. Would you do that? Maybe you need to kneel at your seat. Maybe you need to sit in your seat and pray for that one that you know doesn't know Jesus. And pray that God would give you an opportunity, that you would take that opportunity to share with them the great message of the gospel. Lord, I pray now that you would help us to be obedient, to do what you've laid on our hearts this morning to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.